Infinite presence. Infinite presence is all there is. Infinite presence abounds with love, joy, well-being, strength, compassion, and so much more. And this infinite presence is all there is. It is true that I am, and each one of us is one with this infinite presence. Each one of us here is in the flow. This is a sacred space. This is a sacred time. And as we gather here together, each of us can accept that we hear what needs to be heard, that words that are spoken are meaningful to each of us, that the music lifts up our hearts, lifts up our spirits. And knowing this is who we are, for each of us is one with that divine mind. Each of us vibrates with that universal loving energy. We are so very grateful. Grateful, for this is our truth. And in this spirit of thanksgiving, I release this into that spiritual law that always has our back, that always works for us. And in this moment together, we affirm, and so it is.
Thank you. We're all in that one mind. We're all in that one spirit divine. Breathe that in for a moment. It's all around you. It's within you. You're in it. Like it or not, although it's a really good thing to be in, right? Pure love. Pure joy, pure peace. I'm breathing that in. So thank you for being here. Happy fall. It's the first real weekend of autumn. Rains are back. Although I had the top down today, and yeah, I'm good for having the top down still. Okay. It's important. We've been talking this whole year, kind of honoring the 100th anniversary of Ernest Holmes, our founder, starting to teach the science of mind practice. And so each month we've had a theme, and this month we're taking a look at the theme of what I call other voices. So who are the people who influenced him? Because nobody creates in a vacuum. Buddha didn't create in a vacuum. Jesus didn't create all that, make all that stuff up. The Bible itself wasn't just somebody's inspiration to make it up. It was a compilation of things that were already in the consciousness of that area at that time, and then formed into stories. So nobody makes things up by themselves. Everybody, as the guy who's famous for discovering gravity, Newton, thank you, just said, if I see farther than anybody else, it's because I stand on the shoulders of giants. And so some of the giants that Ernest Holmes stood on that we've been looking at, we took a look first at Emma Curtis Hopkins, who was a spiritual teacher in the late 1800s, early 1900s, mostly out of Chicago, that he was her final student. And then last week, Reverend Carey took a look at Ralph Waldo Emerson, one of the co-founders of the Transcendentalist movement in America in the mid-1800s, along with the Hawthorns and the Alcotts and of course Thoreau and some of those folks. And today we're going to take a look at a British judge by the name of Thomas Troward. And Thomas Troward lived in the mid to late 1800s and early 1900s, and was a judge in India. At that time, India was a British colony. And so he spent most of his time being a judge in India and exposed himself to Buddhist and Hindu philosophy because that was prevalent there. And so he had an open mind. He started to take all this in. And although he was raised Anglican, he started to shift his belief system a little bit. And he started to take this. And so By the early 1900s, he had retired back to London, and a couple of American New Thought folks had come over and given a lecture that just sort of popped him open. He was already, it's like everything was already there, and it just popped him open. And so he started writing, he started delivering lectures on this. And because he was a judge, he wanted logic. You know, because sometimes you can get a little woo-woo or frou-frou with this kind of a teaching. Oh, it just works because it works. And he said, yeah, that doesn't work for me. It's like, why does it work? It works because of this. And then because this, then I can realize that this. And because of this, now I can go to this step here. And because of this, and I love that, by the way. You know, when I first got into this teaching, I had the teacher I was working with was a little bit more on the woo-woo, frou-frou side. And it's like, now give me some logic. And then I can counter Troward. And people either love or hate Troward, because either you like that long sentenced, early 1900s, late 1800s, jurisdictional kind of writing, or it drives people nuts. And we'll have a little sample of that today so you can decide which one you fall on. But he was brilliant. And I loved the logic. And he's probably the person who most influenced Ernest Holmes. When Ernest Holmes first started teaching, he was teaching, about Troward out of his home. And interpreting that and how to apply that and how to look at that. So we're going to take a look at a couple things today that he talks about. And again, not from a historical point of view, but what's the philosophy and how does it touch us and how can we live it and apply it today? So the first thing he talks about is spirit. And he has a whole thing on the origin and that there's only one. And because there's only one, it's a unity within itself. And I'm not going to get into all that because you know, that's a deeper class than I want to get into today. But spirit, that infinite presence, that one mind, creates through self-contemplation. Contemplating itself. There's nothing else, right? So it has to be self-contemplation. You know, the old way we might have said that was that God created everything out of itself, because there's nothing outside of an infinite. So spirit creates through self-contemplation, out of which comes polarity, the polarity of action and stillness. The Taoists say that the Tao, that infinite presence that existed, you know, out of that came the yin-yang energy. They call it the Tai Chi, not the Tai Chi as in the exercise, but Tai Chi as in the movement of polarity, of the movement of presence. And so everything in the universe is a polarity of action or stillness, action and stillness. And they're two sides of one coin. It's not one or the other. It's two sides of one coin. And so when you think about that, when we want to apply that to ourselves, we create by self-contemplation. We get an idea. We contemplate that idea. It's like the song I talked about that Jesse Colin Young kind of contemplated by singing it over and over again until it started to act on him. So we contemplate, what do I want? And what we know is that what we put our attention on increases. So whatever I'm contemplating is what I'm getting more of in my life. So I always say, be careful what you contemplate. Right? The other day I heard somebody say, I am a, and put in a label that person didn't necessarily want. And I said, woo, time out. Don't claim that as your I am, because that's not the truth of you. You might be experiencing that at the moment, but that's not who you are. And that person got it and shifted that. You know, and I've gone through that. You know, we've all gone through that. So the substance that spirit creates out of, there's a consciousness and there's substance. And again, they're two sides of one coin. Spirit has to create out of its own substance. It is. And so there's consciousness and there's matter, if you will. There's consciousness and some sort of a substance. Are you with me so far? Are we mostly good? Okay. So we begin with a basic self-awareness, becoming aware of our I am-ness. It's the first thing we start with, I am. And then out of that, as we start to contemplate what I am, we want to move into activity. I want to express my I am. I want to express that I'm a loving person. It's not enough to sit on my meditation cushion and go, I am loving. I want to be love in the world. It's not enough to sit on my meditation cushion and contemplate chocolate. I want to take action and experience chocolate, right? Okay? Yes? Okay. You may not want to experience chocolate, but I do. You may have your own thing that you want to experience. So I want to experience love as a thing, not just a contemplation. So we have this desire to move out, is what he says. Spirit, in its original and form, which we're all part of, has this core desire. We're just replicating spirit, how spirit creates. Okay? How it creates. So we begin, and this is the clue, because sometimes a lot of people begin with action, right? We see something happens out there, let's take action. Instead of saying, wait, time out, who am I and what do I want to be different in this situation, this circumstance? And I get centered back first, and then from that center place, now I can step forward and take an action. Different consciousness. It's why we do the practice of visioning. Visioning is for us to take a moment to say, what is it that Spirit wants to create through me in my life? What is it, this higher consciousness? What is it that my I am-ness is? Because visioning is about being. Once we are established in that beingness, oh, this is what I am being. This is who I am here to be. Now I want to express that and move forward. So it's that polarity. It's that dynamic. But it's important to first know who I am. What is the I am-ness of me? And so from this process comes evolution, is what Troward says. From this process, as spirit moves out, as spirit expresses, comes a greater and greater evolution, more and more and more, and it goes on eternally. We're eternally evolving. Is that good? It is good. We're eternally evolving into something more. See, we think every generation has thought it's the summa cum laude of everything, right? The high point of, we're the smartest people that have ever walked this planet. And then along comes the next generation, and they go, oh, you're so stupid. Ask your kids, right? Especially if they're teenagers. Okay? And so we shift and we raise and we raise, and spirit is constantly evolving something new, something fresh. Spirit then has also the process, uses the process, he says, of selection and initiative. Selection is choosing. Out of this infinite substance, what do I want to choose? See, we have to make choice if we're going to create. Yes? Okay. I can't just sit there and go, yeah, I want something to happen. Well, something's going to happen, but it might not be what I want. I say I want chocolate, and somebody gives me a really cheap old, you know, candy bar, and it's like, no, I want some expensive dark chocolate, you know? So we choose. I have, for those of you who are new here, just, I'm a chocoholic. Hi, my name's David. I am a chocoholic. Thank you. Thank you. But spirit does selection. It chooses. And then we also, because we're embodiments of that spirit, we choose consciously or unconsciously, and we're constantly choosing. When Paul said, pray ceaselessly, the answer to that is we already are. But what are we praying? What are we praying into our lives? And so we are constantly choosing, choosing, choosing. And the only trick of this is to become aware, more and more and more aware, moment by moment, what am I choosing? What am I choosing? My friend Andy Anderson has a song that says, I'm always thinking, you're always thinking, but do we really think what we think about? I'm always thinking. I'm always choosing. You're always choosing. Do we think what we're choosing about? Are we choosing what we're choosing out of a high consciousness? So spirit as substance supplies something from which that selection can be made and, he says, to which motion can be imparted. That's a little deep. This last Tuesday we had... I should say it's a little obscure. This Tuesday in the foundations class, we had an exercise we did where the students were handed a piece of aluminum foil and were told, make something. Make something with this aluminum foil. So they made something with the aluminum foil, and each person made something different. Okay? And then they were told, they shared what it was, and then they were told, make something else. How long do you think that could have gone on? Forever. Assuming that the aluminum foil didn't disintegrate, it could have gone on forever. It's only limited by the creativity of the person. So this is the substance that we're working with. We can make something of it. And if we don't like what we made from it or we want to have something new, we can make something new from it. It's the same substance. It doesn't have an agenda. Did the aluminum foil sit there and go, no, you can't make that of me. I don't want to be that. No, it didn't care. So this infinite substance that we play with, it doesn't care what we choose. If I'm going to choose a life of misery, it says, okay. If you want to choose a life of bliss, it says, okay. It doesn't have an agenda. And so he says we have to provide selection or choice and then initiative. It's not enough to just choose. We also have to take action. Yesterday we were at a training for how to deal, this is a wonderful, lovely subject, but with active shooters, the possibility of an active shooter and how to do that. And he talked about it's not enough to have a plan. You have to have a strategy, and then you have to practice the plan so that you know what to do, right? If you're a football player, I noticed a couple of Seahawk jerseys out here or things, they don't just sit there and get on the field. They practice. Brett Favre, who was the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, said, you don't pay me to play football on Sunday. I love to do that. I'll do that for free. You pay me to practice. Practice. Because out of the practice, then you know how to do the moves that you need to do to win. Okay? So we practice. So this is the thing we have to do. It's not just choose, but then from that choice, I have to move that choice. I have to move my feet. We have a saying that says treat, which is our form of prayer treatment. Treat and move your feet. Move your feet. So we have to do something as well. We play in this world that is both concept, consciousness, and substance. You know, this is real. I always love in Zen Buddhism, the student occasionally comes to the point of where, oh, it's all illusion. The master says, yes, and then whacks them with a stick or dumps them into a mud puddle or twists their nose or ear really hard. It's sort of like, illusion me that. Tell me that that's an illusion. Well, oh, okay. So yes, reality is more fluid than we think it is, and yet it is still reality. This still exists. And so we have to play in both of those consciousnesses, if you will, both aspects of that consciousness, that we choose and we act. We move it into motion. So out of that comes one of Thomas Chore's most famous quotes. Those of you who have taken the Prosperity Plus class heard this quote from Genevieve Berend, who wrote about going to study with Troward back in the early 1900s, which was neither inexpensive nor easy to do for her to do. And she was a widow. She didn't necessarily have infinite funds. And there was one more complication in that Troward told her when she asked about it, I don't take students. And she ended up as Troward's student because she was determined, because she actually put into practice what he taught. And the paragraph that she saw that turned her on was this, and we're going to break this down. My mind is a center of divine operation. The divine operation is always for expansion and fuller expression, and this means the production of something beyond what has gone before, something entirely new, not included in past experience, though proceeding out of it by an orderly sequence of growth. Take a breath. Therefore, this is Troward, therefore, since the divine cannot change its inherent nature, it must operate in the same manner in me. Consequently, in my own special world, of which I am the center, it will move forward to produce new conditions, always in advance of any that have gone before. Let's unpack that. My mind is a center of divine operation. Ernest says there's only one mind. We think we have an individual mind. We have an individual expression of the one mind. But there's only one mind. We look at each other, we think we're separate, just like we think that the sun rises and sets, but it doesn't really. What's really happening is we're moving, we're rotating. Of course, we don't sing songs about what a lovely earth rotation. You know, sunrise, sunset, sunrise. You know, it's nicer, right? You know, I'm looking out at my back porch the other night, and I'm thinking, what a lovely sunset. And it's just like, what a lovely earth rotation. It doesn't quite carry the same feeling, but it is the truth of what's going on, right? It's what's real. So we have this experience that we're separate beings. It looks that way. It looks like when I want something, it's out there over there and it needs to come to me here, but it's not. There's only one. I'm expanding myself into that to be large enough to include that which I want, that which has previously not been in my life. Love, health, prosperity, creativity, whatever that is. I think it was Meister Eckhart who first said that God is that whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. Sit with that for a moment. God is that whose center is everywhere and whose circumference or limit, outer boundary, is nowhere. So you and I are centers. Everything is a center. God is centered at every point of existence. The Taoists would say, and non-existence, but we won't go there. God is centered at every point of existence. The difference is you and I are what? We're conscious beings. We can make choice. We can select. The universe has evolved itself into beings that can participate in the evolution of the universe consciously. That's you and me. Sometimes we do really good. Sometimes we're kind of questioning how good we're doing in that job, right? Yes? Okay. But we are participating consciously. And by the way, even if we do lousy, we learn something, we get better at it. Because there's just an infinite substance to play with. It's not going to go away. It may change form, but it's not going to go away. Take a breath. We're safe. My mind is the center of divine operation. I am the place where the infinite power of the universe, the infinite oneness of the universe, is operating, is expressing. I'm that right now. I'm that right now. You are that right now. Look at your neighbor. Look at somebody nearby you. You are a center of divine operation. You are. Not the guy next to you. I mean, that person is too. But I am. And say it with me. I am a center of divine operation. Okay. Now, the divine operation, Tror goes on to say, is always for expansion and fuller expression. It doesn't retract. It doesn't. We might get scared and retract. I know nobody in this room, but you know people, right? You got your second cousin in somewhere else that, yeah. The divine operation is always for fuller and greater expression. This is the bad news for those of you who hate change. As it said, change is the only constant in the universe. Okay? So change is happening. It's always going for greater expression, greater expansion. And this means the production, it produces something beyond what has gone before. If it's expanding, it's going beyond what's gone before, right? Okay? By nature. That's by logic. Something entirely new, not included in past experience. How many of you would like to have something new that's not included in your past experience as your future experience? Greater love, greater health, greater joy, yes? Maybe more so than it ever has been before. So the universe, by the way, is moving that way. All you got to do is go with it. But we have these little choices that we made way long time ago that said, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not loved enough, I'm not whatever. And so the universe says, okay, I can manifest that too. If that's your idea of moving forward, I can manifest that. But that's not really what's available to us. What's available to us is this greater. And it says it's not included in the past experience, though it proceeds out of it by an orderly sequence of growth. Okay, nothing weird, laws of the universe don't suddenly change to manifest things. Stuff happens. Now, it may be beyond our ability to perceive how that has happened. All of a sudden, something drops into our lives that we had no expectation of. Anybody? Okay? But if we can really look back at it and understand it, there's an orderly sequence of that process happening. And by the way, we've made ourselves receptive to it in some way or another. Whether it's something we like or something we don't like. So it's an orderly sequence. We live in a universe that is order. It's orderly. But it's not stuck. It's always growing and expanding. Therefore, since the divine cannot change its inherent nature, this is just the nature of the universe. This is how it works. It's always expanding. It's always becoming more. It's always growing logically, but for something new. And because it is, it must operate in the same manner in me. You and I are not isolated, separate from the universe in any way, shape, or form. We are the universe in form, in individualization. And so it operates the same way in me. Consequently, in my own special world, of which I am the center, how many of you are the center of your world? All your hands should be up. Okay? That I don't mean, you know, he doesn't mean that in a bad way. Oh, yeah, it's all about me. Well, on one level, yes, it is. It's all about me. I am the center of my own world. It will move forward to produce new conditions always in advance of any that have gone before, always greater than those that have gone before. And unless we're sitting there going, no, 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 kicking and screaming, throwing a temper tantrum, dragging, as my friend Melissa Felipe has a song that says, kicking and screaming down the path of transformation. I've never done that myself, but I know people who have, at least not since yesterday. It will produce something new in our lives if we open to it, as we align ourselves with it. That's what it wants to do. That's what really our deep self wants to be. And all we have to do is say yes to that which is already saying yes to us. Okay. So then I want to go to look at, because George's other thing that he talks about is the nature of the universe, the what he calls seven main aspects of God. So it's good to know this thing we're dealing with, right? Yes? He says that what any power does depends on what it is. What any power does depends on what it is. It cannot give out that which it does not contain. And since we are expressions of this one power, its nature must be within us and we are within it. So what is its nature? First of all, its nature is life. Pretty obvious, right? Yes? Okay. If life was not a quality of this infinite presence, there would be no life. Okay? So what we know is there's life. It's the starting point. The infinite is life. Every once in a while I sit there and just go, God is life. And I allow that life to move through every cell of my body, every aspect of my being. I become aware that it's already there and I just open up to it to a greater extent. This is, by the way, if you're ever having a health challenge, that's a great thing to affirm. The infinite is the life energy that is moving through every cell of my body, every tissue, every organ, every aspect. If you got, you know, if it's your knee or your thumb or your whatever, it's moving through my thumb right here, right now. This life energy for always, for a constant and greater expression of good is moving through my body right now. That's a great kind of mini prayer affirmation to know and to contemplate with. So life. And then because it starts off as life, it must be love, because love, this life energy tends to the fuller development of life in each individual expression. It wants to do more as each individual expression. And he says, and the pure motive of giving greater enjoyment of life is love. When you're in love with somebody, you want to give them a greater enjoyment of life, yes? When you're in love with yourself, you want to give yourself a greater enjoyment of life. And so this is the quality of love that the universe is, not has, but is. God is not loving. God is love itself. Breathe that in. And then, because it is life, watch the logic here. Because it is life, guided by love, it must also be light, capital L light, the primary inclusive perception, that kind of a light. The perception of all manifestations yet to be. So there's this consciousness that can see all the infinite, that knows all of itself, that can see the infinite possibility of all that is. This is the infinite one mind. That's the light. When in Genesis it says, the very first thing that God says is, let there be light. But it's not physical light, because that doesn't happen until the fourth day, sun, moon, stars, all that stuff. It's talking about the light of consciousness. Let there be consciousness. Up until then, there's been darkness. There's been the field of non-being, as a quantum physicist would call it. Let there be beingness. Let there be light. Let there be the awareness of possibility, of the possible infinite permutations of this infinite possibility. Are you with me okay? Pretty good? Okay. So then light, or perception of infinite possibility, life urged by love, and light, or perception of infinite possibility, then must produce power, because it could not stop short of action, for that would be the denial of life, love, and light. It has to do something. It has to express itself, because if it didn't, it had all these infinite possibilities and just sat there and went, I don't want to do any of that. No life happening, right? No love going on. So it has to move into being. That's power. Power is simply the ability to do something. Power is simply the ability to do something. We've mislabeled that and misunderstood it and misapplied it to where it's become power over other people and I feel powerless. None of us is powerless because we're in the infinite power of God, of the One. We may not know that, we may not use it, but we are the full power. Ernest Holmes has a saying that says, one plus God is a majority. When I open up to that infinite presence, that infinite power, that infinite intelligence, that infinite love, I can do anything that needs to be done. I open up to that which wants to move forward through me. In expressing this power, it must also be peace, for there is no opposition against itself. The infinite can't be against itself because it would destroy itself. So there's nothing against itself, so it experiences peace. When I'm doing something and nothing is in my way, I experience peace. Peace. Next, it must be beauty. Because as a whole, it must impart itself perfectly to each expression of itself. Each person here is God in form, yes? So you are the beauty of God in form. You are the nature of God. Is God beautiful? Is the expression of the divine beautiful? Yes. And so you and I are beauty as it is, as you are. It doesn't take the right haircut, the perfect clothes, the right makeup, the whatever, the perfect figure. We are beauty. We are the beauty of the divine expressing. Have you ever met a person that when you really get to know them deeply, you don't see a beauty in them? You probably haven't. Some hide it really well, right? Really, 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 really well. But if we could pierce through that hiding, all the mechanisms they use to hide, there's the divine. This is the namaste consciousness. The God in me, the beauty in me, sees the God in you, the beauty in you. Am I willing to go there? But it takes a conscious choice. And sometimes with some people, it takes a lot. And sometimes with ourselves, it takes a lot to be in that consciousness where, yeah, I'm going to see the beauty of you. We know people who forget that, right? None of us do. I mean, we always remember it all the time, but we get friends. And then lastly, it must be joy, because it can only find pleasure in its self-expression and in the contemplation of the limitless creative process by which each stage of evolution is a stepping stone to something even more wonderful for an everlasting progression. God is joy. Spirit is joy. The universe itself is joy. Breathe that in. You are. You are an incarnation of the joy of the universe. Breathe that in. How's that for an affirmation to tell yourself every day? I am the joy of the universe in form. Would you feel different about yourself and your life if you did that every day and really got that? Yeah? And so this is the whole progression. It moves from life to love to light to power to peace to beauty to joy. The purpose of life is joy. To experience and express joy. That's it. That's it. Would that be okay in your life? Yeah. So this becomes personalized through and as us because evolution has evolved to the point where we are personally participating in the process of evolution. You and I are conscious creators of the next expression of joy in this universe, in this world. Isn't that cool? Okay. So this week, I'd like to invite you to do something. Take one of those seven main aspects, life, love, light, or perception or intelligence, power, peace, beauty, or joy, and contemplate that. If spirit and we create by self-contemplation, by contemplating that which we want, take something you would like to have, one of those qualities that you would like to have of more of in your life, and spend some time just contemplating beauty, joy, life, power, peace, light. That's your spiritual practice for this week, just one. But take that with you and sit with it. Spend some time with it. You don't have to figure out what it means. You don't have to figure out what it looks like. Just contemplate it. Just contemplate your own I am-ness as I already am life, love, light, power, peace, beauty, and joy. I am that. Whatever it is, I already am that. And just let yourself, let that resonate at every cell of your body, every thought, every feeling. Just spend the time that. Because the truth is, most of us spend the time telling ourselves why we're not that, right? Come on. Yeah. You know, every once in a while I look at myself and go, David, you dummy, why did you do that? Okay. Is that contemplating life, love, power, peace? You know, no, it's not. It's calling myself a dummy. You know, and I usually catch myself and go, okay, wait, you're not dumb. You just, you know, didn't like that choice, but. So contemplate this. Are we good with that? Okay. Do you need that list again? I heard a couple of yeses. Life. That life, vibrant life energy. Love. Light or perception or wisdom or divine intelligence. Power. The ability to get things done. If you're one of those people that doesn't get stuff done in your life, you still live in your head, power is a really good one. I'm going to contemplate the power, the movement, the activity of spirit through me. Peace. If you find yourself constantly kind of in opposition with things, peace is a great thing to contemplate. There's nothing in the universe that is in conflict with itself. At the level of spirit, it's not in conflict. It couldn't be. By the way, I tell people if you have allergies, there's nothing to be allergic to because there's only spirit. And you're spirit. You can't be allergic to your capital S self. And so but we've bought into it because we've had beliefs that say, well, you know, I should be have allergies and all this stuff. And so can we work through that? I have a good friend who took that on as a contemplation who had huge food allergies. And a year later, and when I first suggested this, she said, there's no way that's going to work. I got the test results to prove. No, I'm allergic to this. And a year later, she said, okay, I'm willing to consider it. And a year later, she said, I can eat foods I could never eat before because I've been working with this and sitting with this and contemplating this. Okay? That was peace. Beauty. If you have a hard time with self-acceptance, contemplate your beauty. I am beauty. And then finally, joy. If your life is looking a little dark, contemplate that the purpose of life is to express joy as you. And just contemplate that. Contemplate that. So let's move into prayer. I don't have a closing quote today. Let's move into prayer. So recognizing that there is only one mind, only one life, only one infinite presence. Now, that presence is the pure light, love, joy, life, beauty, peace, power, in whatever order we want to give that. It is that already, right here, right now. It is that. And it expresses all around us and through us as that. And because it is infinite, because it is the only thing there is, the only game in town, and the town is the universe, the only thing that can happen then is we must be within that. We must be one of that, and we must be one of its nature. And so each of us is life, love, light, power, peace, beauty, and joy now. Whether we know it or not, whether we remember it or not, whether we forget it or not, we are, always are that right now, right now. And so from that awareness, I speak my word that this week and beyond, that each of us takes this in and deepens with it, contemplates it ever more deeply, and out of the contemplation comes an ever greater expression of that truth. that we become consciously in alignment with the evolution of the universe, always expressing more of its own nature through us. By contemplating the nature that it is, we simply are saying yes to that which already is, yes to that which the universe wants to express. We become in alignment with this life, this joy, this beauty, this love, this power, this peace, this light. We become in alignment with that by simply saying yes to it, by contemplating it, and by acknowledging that we are that. And then we let it show up in whatever form that we would like to experience it as. We get to choose the forms. We don't have to worry about the how. And so I know that each of us, as we play with this week, experiences a greater sense of joy, of peace, and of all these qualities in our lives. They bless us, and then they bless out beyond us, because we are saying yes to the evolutionary process of life on this planet, the evolution for ever and ever greater good. And so in gratitude for this, in gratitude for the joy and the beauty that each of us experiences as we contemplate our true nature, the nature of God as us, in gratitude for that, I release this word into what we call the law, the process that moves this into form and expression. We don't have to worry about the how. That law, that infinite presence knows how. We trust it. We let it be. And together we affirm that by saying, and so it is. Thank you.
Today we learned, using the representation of the Buddha, that if you feel good and there's someone being mean to you, throwing mud on your personality, you can choose to shine bright, and then you can have them shine bright too if you're nice to them, and then everybody, and then they can pass it on and everybody can be nice.
Great. Thank you.
In the teen group today, we learned about all the labels and things that we and everyone else puts on us, and it can be kind of restricting, and it can shut us down, and it can activate defense mechanisms that shy us away from other people or things that might be actually good for us. So we learn to just take those off and reveal all the good things about us, like these ribbons.
Your own gold. Nice. Thank you.